Unspooled is back for season two. Paul and Amy tackled the AFI 100, and now they're making their own list, starting with back-to-school movies. Check out the first episode on Mean Girls right now on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made, and I just wanted to remind you that you can find all of How Did This Get Made's archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial of Stitcher Premium and access to a ton of great content, just go to stitcherpremium.com and use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS, that's the code, for a one-month free trial of Stitcher Premium. Do it.
My father used to say, if you looked up into the stars, you'd see a movie just like Groundhog Day. But this one is way more boring, less fulfilling, and never to be a classic. We saw 2:22, so you know what that means. Excited to speak to you tonight about this movie, this important movie about signs and numbers. I know I mentioned it in the opening, but they took all the cool stuff from Groundhog Day and they took it out. And they left you with this. It's almost as if there were two Andy McDowells. No, I don't even know why I slammed Andy McDowell. I think she's very good. It seemed right in the moment, but now I feel bad about it. I like Andy McDowell. Here's the deal. This movie, what is it about? God knows. 35 minutes into it, I was like, I'm not quite sure. But if you need to get a little bit of a refresher, it's about an air traffic controller who has a near miss because at 2:22, the world opens to him. And then he starts to see that every day there's some sort of cycle, and it's all leading up to his 30th birthday, which he shares with a woman that he met at an aerial ballet. And they're barreling towards this day, unsure of what is happening, just like the audience. And then at the end, the reveal comes, and we'll get into it. It's not very fulfilling. But that is our basis, and here to break down this movie tonight is one of my co-hosts. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, Portland? That's right! That's what I'm talking about. We fucking did it, everybody. We goddamn did it. How we doing, mezzanine? How about that balcony, baby? Oh, yeah. The balcony runs wet with urine. Every seat's a toilet. It's soft and mushy up there. It's comfortable. Jason.
Oh, wow.
Jason, have you ever seen 2:22? Or, as other people call it, 222.
I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah.
I was flummoxed to click on it, see this picture, and say to myself, I don't know who either of these people are. Then I started watching it, and I was like, oh, wait, it's the second Dario Naharis.
Game of Thrones.
And Teresa Palmer. So she is from Australia, and he is from Norway?
Cool.
I mean, was like, what is this movie where this motherfucker is working out on Olympic rings in his motherfucking home? What? What is he doing, like iron crosses? No! No movie! He lives in a $20,000 a month apartment on an air traffic controller's salary, as if they are the wealthiest cowboys in the world. Fuck you.
He's very down to earth.
He's not down to earth.
Very down to earth.
He's not down to earth. He's a moron. I would argue he should be in prison at the end of the movie. At the end of the movie, he should be in prison.
Jason, let the FAA determine that at the board review. That is not for you to determine.
He takes a police officer's gun away from him. Lock this man up. Lock him up? Lock him up? No? Okay, fine. Guys, it's a mess. It's a mess, this movie. I didn't care for it at all. I don't think Grand Central should have allowed them to shoot there.
I'm 90% sure this movie was nowhere shot near New York. I will say this. When I watched this movie, there was a part of me that was like, are these the stunt doubles for Gerard Butler and Kristen Stewart? And Michael C. Hall as the artist? I literally was like, that's a movie that I would have seen that movie. This one felt like they looked like they're almost right there.
What if we crowdfunded a shot-for-shot remake with those actors?
I'm into it, and I don't mind the tremendous age difference between Gerard Butler and Kristen Stewart.
Here's what I will say, and I mean this. I really liked the second Dario Naharis. I think he's a good actor. I love Teresa Palmer. I think she's been great in stuff. No shade to actors. This script is gobbledygook. This script has, like, let's get it going.
Just wait till we get to second opinions, but we can't get to that part of the show before I bring up my other co-host. A lover of numerology as well. Please welcome June Diane Rayfield. How are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Good. Thank you for asking. June, did you know that 222 came out in the movie theater?
It's so funny. So I've never heard someone say, I'm going to see 222 tonight. I've never heard someone say, have you caught 222 yet?
Oh, it was like in that movie, 222, that we all were talking about last month.
The prequel to 227, the TV show.
Exactly. Mary. I loved him in Game of Thrones. Have you seen him in 222? It is not... I have never heard these numbers spoken together as a movie title.
Can you think of a single movie that has only numerals as a title and it's good?
I mean, it's very hard...
Well, yeah, I guess...
300, okay.
But then there's, like...
2001.
Seven's the word. Seven's not just, like, the number.
Okay, so we got a couple. As much as I would love for the balcony to start yelling more.
I guess I will say...
I'm gonna shut this down immediately.
I will say the difference is, and maybe the question should be, have you ever seen Time as the title of a movie? And that is, 222 is a tough title for a film. Would you like to guess, and not you audience, would you like to guess when this film came out? Jason Jin.
I mean, within the last 3 years.
It absolutely must have come out, yeah. I would say...
I'm going to say 2017 or 18.
You're right, 2017. It has a 22% Rotten Tomato thing. And I normally talk about this at the end. And the domestic gross is... this is actually a little bit more sad. The domestic gross is $422 on the...
Wait, $422? Period?
Yes. So,
wait, you're missing a zero.
No.
$422?
Yes.
As in just under $500?
Yes.
No, then it was not released in movie theaters. That makes no sense.
No,
During its 1 week theatrical release, June 30th to July 6th, it made $422.
Over the 4th of July weekend, this is not right.
Making it the lowest grossing film of 2017. I have a feeling this played in one theater. It had to have been in one theater.
And 11 people went to see it?
Over multiple screenings.
Wow.
I mean, there you go.
I will say that helps me understand a little bit why I had zero even like recollection of it. You know, like this
movie never happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if you told me
or
that
it will happen in 30 years.
Like that's what I love. Like if I met Teresa Palmer and she was like, "Oh, I never made that movie." I'd be like, "You're going to." This was a lot.
This was a ride. And it's hard. I mean, I guess, should we start with the air traffic controller of it all?
Yes. Yes, and
I mean,
only
I've always been obsessed with air traffic controllers.
But why?
Why have I been obsessed with them?
Yes.
Well, it's just such an important high-stakes job, and you read a lot about like the statistics of drug use and air traffic controllers and how stressed they are. And
I cannot imagine it is as cool as this.
Oh, or definitely.
Or pushing tin it look.
Absolutely. I don't think they look like this.
You don't think they look like Dario Naharis? The leader of the Seven Sons? A group of mercenaries who fucks Daenerys Targaryen? What? You don't think air traffic controllers are straight up fucking the mother of dragons?
It's four people controlling all of JFK, not using computers.
And all using landlines, and everyone more gorgeous than the other.
That was what was so crazy. Now, I did love... I found it very satisfying to see those little plastic things go by and get thrown into the...
I liked that too in a way that I was like, I bet that's real.
I think there's some stuff that's real about that. It did seem like the woman's job was just to simply take out the ticket and put it in and send it on its way.
You know, and she did
it. She was at
great.
The front of the line.
She was great. Oh, I just spilled water all
Jason,
over myself.
Jason, are you okay?
Everything's okay. We were talking about the woman and how great she was, and I like literally juiced the water all over my lap. Cooling it down, guys. Cooling it down.
It is so crazy. I mean, they are four models. And that was not my biggest complaint about the movie, but it's just so crazy to see this guy as an air traffic controller, because it's just like, just literally go to the Bowery Hotel and sit at a bar and something amazing will happen to you.
Well, look, he's hiding out. He wants to be one of the coolest professions, a commercial airline pilot.
At the end of the movie, he's like a pilot for Southwest. As if that's his victory.
Yes.
He's like, wait, what?
I like...
You should be in prison, guy.
I... I like the air traffic controller, and I remember it so like intently when I was a child from Summer Rental, John Candy. Like John Candy in like a room like that, just yelling at screens, living in a shitty house. But, yeah. You know, like I like that kind of air traffic controller's life, or the one in Die Hard 2 where it's like a police precinct. Dennis Franz in there, like, hey, get the fuck out of here, McClane. Like, everyone's in there.
I also hope,
Flawless Franz, by the way.
Thank you. you want your plane to land? Yeah, Chicago.
I was traveling while watching this, and I did get concerned. You warned me.
I gave you a trigger
you gave
warning
me a,
because
a
we
trigger
were
warning.
Getting on a plane.
Yes. And I do hope for all of our safety. I'm assuming there must be, in these rooms, there must be an air traffic controller who's just waiting in the wings, like ready to jump in if someone starts to
like
freak out.
Like a tag team style thing? Like, I'm in.
I'm on deck. Like, I'm a floater, and I'm ready to go if someone starts to have a panic attack.
I would assume there must, maybe I'm wrong, but mustn't there be some redundancies baked into the system so that not just one singular person is at any time looking at the whole thing?
I would hope so.
Well,
is there an air traffic controller here tonight?
I do have some research from an actual air traffic controller. Oh. Nick Kiley did some research. If you are an air traffic controller, you can speak up. No. So,
shocking.
They're too stressed out. They can't sit still for an hour and a half. So, Nate Kiley did a little bit of research. He talked to his cousin, who's a pilot, and he said, in the event of a situation like this in the film, if a pilot landing sees a plane on the runway heading for where he is landing, he would not continue landing and start talking to the tower. He would just pull up immediately and abort the landing.
It's Which not would like, be so safe, and his boss is saying to him, tell them to pull up, tell them to pull up.
Right,
and
but
he
Paul's-
says, punch it.
Yeah.
But Paul's point is that the pilots, he or she, have more agency over those moments that they can.
Yes,
they don't have to follow orders just because.
And what
just
because
he sort of looks like Eric Bana.
Yeah.
And what Dylan Branson, the main character, that's his name. What Dylan Branson is doing is pulling off this hotshot bullshit every day because they show him the first day doing a similar thing. It just is like it's cool because they don't crash. And then the second day, they kind of crash, but they don't. Like, there's not that much difference between day one and day two.
Except that what they're basically telling you through, I'm not kidding, exhausting repetition.
Yeah.
Is that he is some sort of plane-based rain man. Maybe like a plane man. He's kind of a plane man who can see the whole picture. And it all comes to life in front of him. Trajectories and this and that. And
he's like the Mark.
But no. there have to be computer programs that do this. Just look
We're
at those.
We're not eyeballing it. Well,
not in this day and age.
Again, Nate Kiley said, yes, they use those plastic rail things, but at a place like JFK, it's pretty much all computer-based by now.
It would have to be.
But here's what I was going to say, that yes, he is like Daredevil, and he sees airplanes sonically, but there was a moment in this film where I was like, am I just watching like an infomercial for me to join up as an air traffic controller? Because we're about 15, 20 minutes into the plot of this movie, I'm like, there's no character development. So they're like, do you want to be an air traffic controller?
It would not have surprised me. It would not surprise me if air traffic controlling underwrote the budget of this movie.
I thought you were going to say if the rise of air traffic controllers went up after the release of this movie, like Top Gun.
Oh, my God.
Those 11 people who saw it all just signed up.
Well, the other thing in this is, like, here is a job teetering on the edge of obsolescence. Like, this is a job that will no longer have human beings in control of it at all soon.
I don't know.
I think computers will both fly and land our planes entirely. I mean, if we're going to allow our cars to do that, why not our planes,
Well,
right?
Look, this is why I'm a big supporter of Cyberdyne Systems. They're doing some great stuff.
Hang on. Hang on.
What? Miles, the lead guy, Miles, is so great.
Miles Drentel?
No.
Oh, no, that's from 30-something. Don't worry about it.
Let's just take a listen to how cool air traffic controlling looked.
Men on the Air today, people.
Oh, by the way, like every day, there's a lot of metal in the air at JFK, the premier airport for New York.
I just love the idea of like being on a date and being like, yeah, there's a lot of metal in the air today. Ah, sorry. Metal is what we call planes. We call planes metal.
All these actors went to like a workshop where they walked through an air traffic controller thing, like wrote down a notebook. They call it metal. Pushing tin. Got it.
It's one of those things that I feel like they're making the same way that like CSI makes like what is otherwise like lab-based forensic investigators seem like they are like globe-trotting, like James Bond investigators.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine these guys are as cowboying around and loosey-goosey as this.
Jason, I would take it even if they missed throwing it into the trash can once. Because they get it in the trash can every single time.
And every
you're gonna
one
miss
of them
once or
is
twice.
A hunk and a honey.
Yeah, even Oldie McGee.
June, he's not that old. Let's not be ageist against
he's
the
probably
the man
like
is probably like 46, 50. Which is a totally cool age. He seemed young at heart. Probably his dick still works.
All right, let's go back to watching
I mean, he's
this.
An air traffic controller, so...
I'll land this in you.
There's a lot of metal down there.
Oh, you have a metal dick?
Sorry,
that's
I have
a long story. a microwave accident.
A plane crashed into my dick. The terrorists were trying to kill me. Hang on.
All right, so a little bit more of the cool badassery of air traffic control.
AJ-399, taxi via Delta Alpha and hold short of Juliet.
She just slides them.
Contact tower 23.9.
Contacting tower 39. She's all yours, buddy.
I love that he never sits.
CA-135, line up runway 22 right. Clear for takeoff. Contact departures 3501's airborne.
CA-135, clear for takeoff.
Okay, here's the first lot of 10 downstairs that are going to be jammed up for the next half hour.
Oh, he did this.
I know you're going to chaos.
I mean...
EA-39, square the base, reduce the minimum speed now.
Don't make me look bad.
You send that little bitch around and you owe $10 to the drinking fund.
Say in watching that sequence is he's not good at math in any other part of the film, but there he's doing it like advanced geometry and he's looking at trajectories and heights, but that's not a feature of this film.
I cannot imagine.
The feature of this film is time and sounds.
Yeah.
That's what he's good at.
Yes.
Sounds.
Yeah, the only other thing he does with numbers is just write down times.
Yes,
that things happen.
Which is the title of the movie. This is a time-based film.
Correct.
It is a movie in which the lead character's obsession is with events that are happening at specific times. And his pursuit to solidify that, in fact, at those times, those things are happening. So that drop better happen. That water droplet.
And I will tell you, it's really fun for a movie to be based all on sound.
Yeah.
Well, this is what's so crazy. I feel like you could establish that in maybe two scenes, that a number of events were happening at the same time. Woman laughing, businessman, whatever it was. They do it.
From beginning to end.
The whole movie.
From beginning till end.
But I would argue...
In the final scene, it's still happening.
Yes,
group
correct.
Of kids. Man yes. with newspaper. Business
pregnant
man,
woman.
Pregnant woman. And then she's like, oh, fuck, I'm the pregnant woman.
So,
and I was like, God damn it.
So much so that he comes home at 11:15, looks up in the sky, no airplane. Credits. By the way, it should have been 2-2-2. And you're like, not shot.
Are we going to get into the 30 years ago plot?
Yes, please. Can we? I mean, would beg that we do.
Well, the whole thing revolves around stars, right? Because the opening monologue, his dad had a lot of stories about what stars meant, and none of them are technically true.
Here's what's also fascinating as we now kind of segue into talking about this is having just spoken about, illustrated with video, and gotten in-depth about air traffic control, right? And the players in that environment that the first, I'd say, 15 to 20 minutes of the movie sets up are never seen again.
They don't
never go back there.
The movie is, in fact, not about air traffic control at all.
Nor is it really about this man's journey from air traffic controller to pilot.
Nope.
He says he has a debilitating fear of flying and flying planes. We never see that.
I don't know
what that looks like.
We never see him conquer that specific fear.
It should be a plane crash movie, the way that it is set up. And then he's got to avoid this disaster. But instead, it's like, and I've never used this term before, a romantic thriller?
Yeah.
You're right. It's weird. I don't even know how those two things go together.
The things that are at play in this film are reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because they are the reincarnated spirits of the two people prior, right?
Yes. From 30 years ago.
So are they? I mean, I don't even know. I don't know that.
Because he's like, we found each other. This is us. And this is us, the TV show, NBC.
Love that show.
What seems to be at play is that both Dario Naharis II and Michael C. Hall have both figured out that they are the men from the past.
Right.
And are intent on both recreating and not recreating those events. Because here's the thing. If I'm Dario Naharis, the minute I figure out what's going on, go somewhere else in the world.
Go. Leave.
Boom.
Here's the easiest solution.
You know what? Go somewhere else in the world.
And honestly...
Or don't leave your apartment for 2 weeks.
Yep. Even if I'm Teresa Palmer and this idea has been floated by that I might die on my 30th birthday at Grand Central, I'm not going to go in there.
How about this?
Guys.
I'm not going to go in there.
Guys.
Both men,
even if I don't believe it, I won't go in.
Both men say... Every line of dialogue that Dario Naharis and Michael C. Hall say to Teresa Palmer, each single line alone should be enough for her to walk away and never talk to them again.
That's true.
Never mind all of their lines cumulatively. This movie should be about her, and it should be a horror movie.
I would agree with a lot of what you're saying. But I don't even think that Michael even knows what his end game is.
I agree, Paul. I don't know that he did know he was in.
Yes.
He had been reincarnated.
He calls her by the wrong name, though.
I know, and that was weird. But aside from that one moment, I wasn't sure he knew the entire time.
I really do believe that. I don't think he knew. He was putting it together. I'm desperately leaning in, like, what is the plot? Why am I not figuring this out? Did someone hit me with a hammer watching this? Why can't I connect these dots?
I am looking so hard for anyone in this movie, be it Oldie McGee, be it Michael C. Hall.
Again, like middle-aged hunk. Let's not call him Oldie McGee.
I'm looking for any number of these people. That strange lady who he had a visit with in Staten Island or whoever that woman was.
Wait, who?
The sister of Isabel, or whatever her name was. I'm looking for anyone to have the answers. And nobody seemed to.
Not only does nobody have the answers, the movie doesn't either.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, There's never an exposition dump. There's never a magical realism explanation. There's never anything that gives, so much so that I at a certain point wrote, is this the game? Is this a movie
I wrote down,
in which all of this has been a construct to fuck with Dario Naharis, and that's going to be the third act reveal?
I wrote, is Jonas a sorcerer? Because I thought, oh, he's the artist. That would be more fulfilling if he was like, ah, ha.
That's what a sorcerer is?
Yeah. But here's...
You've got to get in the Fantastic Beasts series.
I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying. Johnny Depp beat me out.
Young Slughorn, here we come.
All-American Tiger Woods is a new documentary podcast from Stitcher. We all know Tiger, of course. He's one of the biggest sports stars of all time, and we all have heard his story, a crazy ride to success, a shocking fall from grace, and of course, a big, big comeback. There's so much more, though, that we don't know. And despite all the media coverage that Tiger has had over the past decade, not many people have really gotten to know him. All American will reflect on Tiger's rise to greatness and what his iconic status means within American culture. Even if you're not that into golf or sports in general, Tiger's journey is so fascinating to revisit in 2020 as our society's treatment of race, identity, and women has shifted tremendously. You don't want to miss this show. If you're a fan of documentaries or just a good story, this is the podcast for you. Check out All American Tiger Woods now in your favorite podcast app, and make sure you subscribe so you can always get the latest episode. That's right. I've heard the first episode and I was like, oh my God. You know, I think it's one of those things where you make an assumption about something or the media just hints the way that you view someone. And this podcast is really, really exceptional. So check out All American Tiger Woods.
June, if you met somebody on a first date and you realized that that person almost killed you 24 hours earlier, where would your heart be?
Also, June, are you going on a lot of dates right now?
Listen, I'm just trying to stay open.
We have two children.
You know, what I think I would take from it. Major red flag. Like, this man has admitted, it's like, I've heard Oprah say it, when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Oh.
They will tell you, and you have to believe them.
And to his credit, he is literally screaming at her that he is...
I'm a mass murderer.
Yes. He's saying, I am unwell mentally.
Help.
And she is like, you are beautiful.
Yes.
Look, we're going back to a simpler time. 1987. 30 years ago. Ooh. When the Elmhurst
line... Wait a second. It was 30... Wait.
It's set 30 years ago.
Yeah. So it's 1987.
Wait a minute. No. They're born... No. Sorry.
Okay, so...
The flashbacks are 30 years ago. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So 30 years and they were born.
It was like the
50s. It did. That's why
I'm so
confused.
It looked like the 50s. They were holding like snub-nosed pistols like it's the 50s.
It was black and white photography.
It was like sepia-toned as if it was like The Godfather Part 2.
Wait, Paul.
I was like, what's going on?
Was it really 1987?
It is. It's like, yes, literally.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
That is absurd.
Like, they don't look like they're in the... Keep in mind, the 80s are like Dayglow and bangs, and they are dressed like leather jackets, like 60s, 70s. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is... when I put that together, I was like, oh, it's 1987. Why not just push it back to the... Oh, I guess they weren't turning 50. But I did love how they did the Googling on this movie. He just types in Grand Central Terminal. If you're Googling in what is essentially supposed to be like the New York Times, Grand Central Terminal, probably want to narrow it down. Tad.
When he
Just a tad.
When he's doing this, right? Okay, hold on. I had a note about this. When he's doing this Google thing, do you have any of the other images from his Google search
or anything? I have a couple.
Okay,
Grand
so he's
Central
doing the
murder.
Googling, right? And he pulls up all these images of the 30 years ago murder scene that, again, look like Ouija photos from the 20s. They look like black and white gangster photos from the from the Prohibition. It's so crazy. Meanwhile, there's one shot that is from above.
Right, I wrote that down.
That I was like, who took this picture? Who took this picture? An overhead picture of a crime scene in Grand Central from like
a drone,
50 feet above?
A drone perspective. I mean, also, I was very look, if you're going to make this the crux of your film, and I wasn't expecting the whole movie to revolve around this, like that whole plot, like he was a criminal, but he wasn't really a criminal, but he was doing, like they laid down this story that was so complicated to follow that the guy who was accused of the murder wasn't.
It was as if we were going to, it was as if the, because so basically the setup is, the past setup is that everybody believes that the woman...
Jake, whatever his
yeah,
name
the
is.
Yeah, Jake was this criminal who
even though
killed,
he had no record.
What's that?
Even though he had no record.
Okay, yeah. Killed this woman who was his ex-girlfriend and that this and this police officer, blah, blah, blah. And the it acted as if you were so invested in that story that the reveal at the end that the opposite was true, that Jake was the hero and the cop was the villain, is supposed to land like, whoa!
Yeah. But, yeah, and by the
and
way...
And I was like, who are these people? I don't care.
By the way, I think... They walk this line where the movie opens with that scene, but you don't see their faces. Wouldn't it have been more powerful to see this scene play out?
Why not see their faces?
To, didn't, right.
Didn't not seeing their faces make it seem like when we were in the flashbacks later and we would see their faces, they would have the faces of Teresa Palmer and Dario Naharis?
It wasn't a twist.
It didn't make any sense. We just saw other actors. Oh, okay.
And it was also weird because I felt like they wanted the movie wants us to believe that this guy, Dylan, whatever his name is.
Dylan Branson?
Yes. Is Jake.
Jake. Yeah, whatever Jake
that
is.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Yeah. And they're setting us up like, oh, he's also been accused of a crime of almost killing 900 people,
no, but
he's still a good guy.
But he also did do that.
That's what I'm saying, but we saw him do that. That happened.
Right. Like
he's an actual criminal.
Yes, correct.
Well, he made a mistake.
He steals a police officer's gun.
Well, that's at the end. But he was trying to stop a murder, so I think...
Yes, I agree with you. He made a mistake as an air traffic controller.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What murder is he trying to stop? If he isn't present,
it doesn't
is
happen.
Jonas going to kill her?
Just don't go. No, of
Jonas
course not.
Jonas isn't going to kill her. Nope. Just, that's not Jonas's plan.
This is the thing. I think, here's the credit I'll give him. I don't think he realizes fully, even though he keeps on saying, I mean, he says to her at one point, we're them.
When he said that, I went, what the fuck?
Which was a crazy moment.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he understands totally who he is in the scenario. Maybe he's Isabel.
Right. Well, that's
maybe he's businessman.
No,
like, I don't think he knows who he is there.
No, I agree, because I think that's the twist of the movie that didn't land for me was you don't know who he is.
I thought
in
who
that
cares
scenario.
Who he
he's
is?
The child in the pregnant woman's belly.
Great. Like, it doesn't the thing is, it doesn't matter because the movie doesn't invest us in the characters from the past, so we don't care if they are those people reincarnated in the present at all because their experiences bear no importance on their
experience. All of this is fine. It's all well and good, okay? But why did this happen?
The movie?
Well,
okay, now that's an interesting question. Why did this movie happen to us? Because I looked into it. I called my lawyer because I said, I just watched this movie. And I said, it's called 222. He was like, I don't think that's a movie.
All right, so...
And I was like, it is. Can I sue them for the fact that I watched it? He said, I'll look into it, and then got back to me, we cannot sue.
I will tell you that I do believe that I'm going to give you my theory on it. And it's
well,
gonna
you
be a
have
little...
notes, and you have all sorts of things
no,
over
no,
there.
No, 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 no. This is all me.
Yeah, you have okay. You have insider info.
All I have is how much money it made and where it fell on these things. Here, I have one other detail, but here. So I'm gonna talk to you about what I think it means. All right, this is a little bit of the introduction voiceover.
When you fly above New York at night, it's like you're looking down at millions of stars.
By the way, he would not know this. He just simply would not know this.
Yeah.
He's never been in a plane the way that we understand it. Okay.
And each star could be the life of a person who calls this great city home. My dad told me that people have always looked to the patterns of the stars to predict what was going to happen in their lives. And if you could understand those patterns, you'd be able to know what was going to happen before anyone else did. The last time we saw each other, he told me that each star's light has taken decades to reach us, and how it always burns brightest right before it dies.
Okay, so, couple things. I think what's happening there is he's saying that the 30-year cycle it takes for the star to burn out, right? That... this could be happening all over the world at all given times, but basically it's the last gasp of these people to get solace or peace, right? So this star is going to burn out.
Oh.
So I believe that, like...
well, yeah,
now,
because everything... this, yes, so go,
yeah,
go.
This movie posits a world in which if you are open to these signals, you could be solving people's things all the time. We, like June, you and I, we have to solve a murder together eventually, but we have to keep our eyes open about it.
I don't think that's what the movie is saying. As much as I would be fully on board for some sort of TV show or movie in which you guys solve murders.
Bring back the Thin Man. The Thin Man, let's do it.
A Nick and Nora situation. Here's the thing. The movie seems to believe, because it's one of these movies, these happen to us all the time, where everything in the movie is part of the plot of the movie.
Right.
So, like, Dario Naharis. Dario Naharis's world is so consumed with patterns and with this thing, these star alignments, this 30-year cycle, the death of a star, the blah, blah, blah. So much so that while he's just anecdotally figuring it out, writing on the glass in his apartment...
By the way, trope that I feel like we need to, like, mark down. People are always writing on fucking glass.
People cannot stop writing on glass in their apartments.
And then cameras love to just, like, film from the other side.
It's, like, so hot. Anyway, meanwhile,
in the
background, he's not like watching old episodes of Family Guy. He's got on some news station that's like, oh, guess what? A star is experiencing its death throes for the first time in 30 years. He's watching a show that is exactly about the thing that's happening to him currently.
It's like local news just went deep into astronomy. It's like, with sports, Jim Covello and astronomy, Ted Johnson.
It's as if all of Manhattan is trying to tell his story.
Right. So, okay, so I know we're all made of stardust, but...
we are golden.
So, when these people died, you're saying that their spirits...
had 30 years to figure out the murder.
Or I believe they were doomed to recreate it.
Right, yes.
Because there's a world in which if Dario Naharis hadn't cracked the code, they just would have careened into this same scenario again without really realizing.
Well, and then
I'm liking the movie a lot more.
And then
as we're talking about it.
You are?
I am.
And then what? In like 2049?
Yeah, what happens then?
Then there'd be another two people that I guess would be carrying the weight of two, a lot of personalities.
By the way, Get ready. I'm making that with Jacob Tremblay and the girl from the Florida Project in 2049.
All right. This is just to give us some context. I don't know if this helps or hurts us, but on the web and in tarot and numerology, 222 is called the angel number. 222 or 222 is a combination of 2 signifying balance and 22, which is the number of the master builder. If you are seeing the number 222 repeatedly, it is said to be a sign from an angel guiding you to a building phase of your life. But he doesn't see 222. It happens once.
No, he sees 222 all the time.
Once a day.
Oh.
But he's also seeing 1115.
Wait, once a day? What?
But no.
What are you talking about? Yeah, once a day. Guess what? It only happens once a day.
No, twice. But Paul's saying he doesn't just keep on seeing the numbers everywhere.
Right, but I mean,
he's not seeing a cab that's like 2220.
Jim Carrey movie where it's like the number 7. He's seeing like 9:15, drop. Okay, then he's seeing 11:15, plane overhead, car horn honk.
I think 222 is the moment of his death.
Okay, so
222 is the moment he dies. That's why 222 is boom. And the lights go out and glass shatters. 222 is the moment they die.
So did that chandelier really drop?
Yes, that's what I thought too. Not only did the chandelier really drop, but I believe the windows really blew out.
Every day. That happened multiple times.
Every day. Like,
so then they
Grand
should put
Central
out
would
some,
be shut down.
Absolutely.
Shut
some
it down.
Advisory. It should
Safety
be on the news.
Safety is our first priority.
Like, shut it down.
Something is
Facial recognition
here.
Technology is like, that guy's been here every day.
Absolutely.
He's up to something.
Absolutely. Massive security.
This guy is somehow the cause of it. Every
sure.
day he's there, and every day something explodes.
All right, then what is up with the art gallery in the sewer and that guy? Because is that guy also a numerology guy? He's like,
that guy's like
it.
The most
You're
interesting
on.
Man in the world. He's like the Dos Equis guy. He's like, I knew you would come.
He is having...
Drink well, my friend.
I love that
Drink well.
We know he's a gallery owner because he wears a scarf.
Yes.
By the way, did I ever tell you?
As does the other gallery owner.
Yes.
Every gallery owner wears scarves.
I once had to do a charity event where I was sat next to the Dos Equis guy, but he couldn't speak himself. Like, they had to feed him lines, like, because everything needed to be on brand.
Oh.
So like he couldn't improvise.
He couldn't freestyle?
No, they had to keep on sliding him lines, and it was just working a phone bank, but he needed to have lines fed to him.
It was like, give well, my friends.
But this art gallery is in the sewer, but the crime scene didn't happen in the sewer.
No, that's just a gallery of... That's a different
that
artist's work
but
that is about the same murder.
But
so
that didn't happen
strangely,
in the sewer.
No. I don't know why you're talking about the sewer.
You're
but...
obsessed with the sewer. The sewer is just the location of a gallery.
Wait. That wasn't an art decked thing? Like... He literally...
That's that guy's gallery.
That's his gallery.
But no, but like next month it would be like flowers and things of that nature.
I don't know what he's got on next month.
Paul.
I only mean that because I haven't looked at the advanced schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know what
that
they're...
That is just the gallery
That's just
space.
The gallery. Yeah.
Okay, but
it's
no, no, no.
It's not like
no.
an installation.
How he's many, not saying
how many
this
people
is...
thought that was an installation?
This
because...
is honestly embarrassing for you.
How many people thought that this man literally ran a gallery in a dank, wet sewer?
That's right, Portland.
There
you
is,
get it.
Yeah, especially because there's a sign outside that
yes.
says, like...
Like the most interesting
Kaiser,
Dos Equis gallery.
Yeah, gallery. It's a sign and a plaque.
I love I that in the
that
other gallery.
I get that it's a gallery. What I'm saying is... The same way that they created that VR room in the other one, he built something that looked like a sewer. Like, he did. His gallery isn't only exclusively sewer tunnel work. Like,
No, that's
the
gallery.
Work, Paul.
The art, the exhibit has nothing to do with the space.
It's just where he has space. Those exhibits are going to rotate.
I know, but I'm
saying... A new one is coming in next month.
And those exhibits will not be thematically linked, just like this one is not,
by the way,
to a sewer.
It's not
even a sewer.
Grand Central
it's not a sewer.
It's not about
a sewer.
Sewer.
How about it's not a sewer?
What is it?
It's a gallery.
It's a gallery, Paul. It's a gallery.
No, no.
It's a gallery exhibiting works
of new artists. Do you not support new artists, Paul?
No,
and
I am.
Yes, it's what's odd about it is that another artist in New York.
I can't believe that's the picture.
Another artist in New York is doing artwork about this very crime.
And Jonas is essentially ripping him off.
Yes, but
maybe Jonas saw this thing, which spurred his.
I think that this guy's a numerology. This is one of his patterns.
Oh, I'm just saying that the gallery was very specific.
Not to the art within it. It was specific looking.
But wait, we were introduced to another gallery, the Howard Pace Gallery, where that guy was like, "Oh, I'm hanging my things," and they're decorating the whole thing.
Wait, is that true? Is that the impression of Jonas? Gallery. No,
it's the other guy who wants the loud.
Oh, okay.
That but is like, Teresa Palmer's
right,
gallery.
But she's decorating
it. No, it's the other man's gallery. She
right,
works
but
there.
She's, but Howard she works Pace's for him.
Yeah, gallery. Sorry. Yeah.
They're decorating it to make the exhibit look the best way possible.
Sure.
And I think the other guy was like, "Ooh, we're doing a gritty crime series. Let's make our gallery look like a sewer tunnel."
No, that's not how galleries work.
Let's make it look like... Wait a minute. Paul, do you think that sewer is a building that has been made to look like sewers?
Yes. Wait, so you guys think that... He's actually in an abandoned sewer tunnel?
No.
It is a space. Oh.
Paul.
I'm in a full sweat.
I'm so concerned.
I sweat through.
I'm so concerned.
I'm worried.
What am I not getting?
Like.
A lot.
So much.
A lot.
Honestly, I'm sorry,
space.
Portland. I'm sorry Paul's not getting this.
So, all right, so
like,
it's
actually, that's kind of the thing about galleries, is that they are blank spaces.
Right.
So that the artwork can just sort of...
Did you think that the sewer gallery was positing that the murders took place in a sewer, not in Grand Central?
Yeah, because how do you explain that? If he's trying to create some site-specific gallery, then he hasn't done a great job. Then he should just create a big...
Also, Jonas is, I think, either the greatest artist of his generation or the worst. He creates, like, an immersive three-dimensional environment that is unbelievable.
Without VR goggles, they are all transported to an equal thing.
Yes.
I've been to some museums like that.
Really?
Not, like, on that level, but very close. In Tokyo, there was a place that was... It had similarities.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Team Lab. Look it up. It's awesome.
Teen Lab?
Team.
Okay,
team.
I'm just making sure.
Jacob Tremblay was there.
It's not the girl Teen from Lab.
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree. You guys are wrong. I'm right about the gallery. But that art gallery owner seemed to know more than what he was leading on. Like, I feel like that art gallery owner was like, looks just like the murderers. Like, he looked like he was trying to help out. What was the address of that gallery? 222?
Was it?
Maybe.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. Like, it does feel like... because the movie's main characters are all related to the 222 reincarnation mystery, it makes it feel as though 222 is like... Y2K bug. It almost makes it seem like everybody's experienced 222, but no, it really is. Our movie is only about the. It makes it just seem so important, but it's not. It's really a portrait of the mentally ill, and their belief in their own specialness. Right? These people believe like I am special. I am.
Sacred geometry is a thing that I've heard said before.
What?
Sacred geometry. I mean, I can't even get into what that is, but one time Jason and I do a show in Los Angeles, and there was a person who came up and spoke about their belief in sacred geometry. Does anyone have any idea? Can anyone speak to sacred geometry? All right, here, hold on. Let me find you.
I feel like somebody in Portland can speak to sacred geometry.
If you're in the where are you? Where's your hand? Where is
sacred
geometry?
Something tells me someone in Portland can talk about sacred geometry.
Anyone sacred geometry? No? All right, come on. All right, sir, what's your name?
My name's Mike.
Mike, explain to us succinctly sacred geometry.
So if you look at different, like, glyphs and relics and different runes, different shapes take on
glyphs,
meanings.
Glyphs, relics, and runes?
Yeah.
You, so, like, threw those out like the most normal things.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
If you've got, like, quarters, nickels, and dimes, like, glyphs, relics, okay. If you've got certain glyphs, relics, and runes, that's the beginning of explaining this.
The only reason I know about this is last week I was at a Korean bookstore in L.A., and I bought...
Cool flex, bro.
I bought a used copy of the Necronomicon from 1977, and they get into how, like, when you draw runes, the different angles, higher angles, mean, like, Luciferian, and, like, if you draw lower angles, it's different demons and things like that, and it forms sacred symbols for your geometry when you're, like, drawing out your, like, pentagrams and stuff.
Because he is using some sacred geometry in when he takes the... They oddly gave him the X-ray of the FAA.
Why? Why does he have that chart? And by the way, that chart appears... It appears as though when he's holding that chart, whatever he puts the chart in front of is meaningful. He's like, let me put it in front... Uh-oh, wait a minute. He just happens to have the star chart and a picture of the roof of Grand Central. And then later, he's like, wait a minute, and points the chart at the TV. And it's like, it works here too. Everything is, that's mental illness. When everywhere you see messages for only you, that's mental illness.
I was bummed because at one point Jonah says, you know what they say about people who find patterns and everything? Scene cut. No, tell me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would love to hear the end of that sentence. We're out here in the audience right now, and if you want to maybe bring up something that we are maybe missing from 22222, let me know.
22222? That's too many.
Yeah. Okay, someone just called out Ariel Ballet. Let's just talk about that for 1 second. So, he is an air traffic controller. He has purchased...
He's gifted.
Oh, who gave him those tickets?
His ex-girlfriend.
That.
Yes. His ex-girlfriend gives him the tickets for an adventure, but she can't go with him because she's seen somebody now. But they used to have, like, a birthday tradition of an adventure.
A week early birthday tradition. She would give him tickets about a week before his birthday to go see a live show. Not on his birthday.
And it sounds like it was something they used to do together.
I see. Just go on adventures or go specifically to Ariel Ballet?
No, adventures. Because he's like, are we still doing this? And she's like, yes. And she gives him the thing. They would, like, make each other go do things, but they would do it together, and then it would end in the bone zone. But he's like, are you coming with me? She's like, no, I actually like someone. And he's like, I respect that. Okay, goodbye. And then he goes alone, and, like, I fucks Teresa Palmer the whole time.
Gotcha.
He did say, ooh, Ariel Ballet, I've never seen this. And then I actually was impressed with the Ariel Ballet.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I mean, I get a little uncomfortable seeing bodies contort to that degree.
I didn't mind it.
But...
You're always slightly uncomfortable at a Cirque du Soleil show.
Very much so.
Well...
But do you think that you needed something that steamy to bring these two people together? She was crying at the end
of that. Steamy?
I didn't think it was steamy.
I didn't think it was steamy.
Why was she crying?
That's a little insight into Paul Scheer. That was steamy?
I thought they were trying to make it very sexy.
I think she was crying.
Is that why you stopped watching it on the plane right at that scene? Too steamy.
I think she was crying because she knew she could never... do that.
Yeah, because she wanted to be a dancer, and this is her dream, the dream that she didn't get to live, to see into fruition.
Got it. That was revealed a little bit later, so I've forgotten about that. When it's kind of,
I don't think she was crying because she was so turned on. Wait, this is also weird insight. You both thought it was steamy, and the evidence was she's crying? What's going on?
I combined two thoughts because I thought it was interesting because it was like he was being turned on by how sexy the man and the woman in the Aero BLA was, and then she was like, I'm alone. I don't have love.
Oh,
this
interesting,
is
Paul.
Fascinating.
They're both alone watching sexy aerial ballet going, I wish I had someone to get in the rafters with.
Maybe I'm misremembering it. I don't think it was sexy. Yeah.
I disagree fundamentally.
Hold on.
First of all, it's a dance performance.
Well,
it is not sexy aerial ballet.
Well, here's the thing. I think it could be sexy aerial ballet.
Thank you, June.
But I don't think it was.
All right, let's let the aerial ballet speak for itself. Now, and you got to let it build to sexy. So it starts off not sexy.
By the way, can you push pause for just a quick second? There is not enough people at this show.
The production value dictates that they should be a lot more people.
And also,
there
are so few people. What kind of theater is this that like five people are just standing on the sides?
And also, like the aerialists are so close, they would 100% fall onto these people.
Well, they're professionals. Okay, here we go.
You love aerialists.
It's a talent. Okay, so. She's really into aerial ballet.
Yes, because this is her dream. This is what she wanted to be.
I get that. They're star-crossed lovers.
Oh, boy, patterns.
Patterns.
Stars.
Sacred geometry.
Patterns.
Dicks and balls.
By the way, can you pause for a second? This is terrible theater. This right here, their skills, great. They're doing aerialist stuff. All it is in the background is just video of clouds? No!
It was 2017, the height of projection technology.
No! That's not a show!
Hold on, just wait. Look at that, sexy. Oh, sexy.
I mean, I guess, Paul, I don't...
Hold on, look.
Okay, I'm watching.
I feel like this is romantic.
It's romantic, yes.
But scissoring. It's not like...
They're scissoring.
They're not scissoring. Is that what you think scissoring is?
They're getting close. Look, they're connected. Their bodies
it's
are connected.
I'm
going to
send you some videos.
Sensual.
That's not sexual.
That's coming. They just came. What you just watched there
and
was...
And that's why you think she's crying?
She's like, I wish someone would make me come like those two aerial balletists. Yeah, look at them. They're in it. They're boom, boom. They're connected. They're one. 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 And they are come.
I did not.
I wish.
I did not like that. Please, people, tonight, when you are fucking each other, look into your partner's eyes and go, we're one, 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 and come. We're one, we're one, we're one, we're one, we're one. It's like a baseball chant. We're one, we're one, we're one, we're one, we're one, we're one, we're one. Holy shit.
All right. Let's go into the crowd. Let's hear what you have to say about 2-2-2-2.
Bam, 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 bam.
Okay, I'm in the audience with a gentleman holding a clock that is timed to 2-2-2. And boom is written across the
Smart.
Clock.
This guy gets it. Ooh, look at the baby.
Sir, your name and your question.
Got it. I'm Cameron, and if Michael C. Hall was also reincarnated...
Yes. Jonas, the artist.
Jonas, yes. Yeah.
Is his birthday also April 18th? And if so, why didn't she mention that when they were having a conversation about him and their birthdays being the same in bed?
Well, no, you're that right. Would posit that the cop... Well, I think that they are...
See, I don't know that they all need to have the same birthdays.
Right.
But then why do they?
Because I think... Because
I agree. I agree. I don't think they need to either, but well, they do.
Because they were... Oh, wait, because they were born the day that person died, so maybe...
But so did Jonas die.
Wow, you're right. Good question,
no,
sir.
No, I mean, like, it creates a problem. It creates a problem because... And, whoa, but what we're... I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. What we're told by the sister of the singer is that the singer and the criminal 30 years ago also shared the same birthday.
Right.
So that the star-crossed lovers always had the same birthday, and neither the cop nor Jonas participated in that. So they didn't share a birthday because they died the same day, because they shared a birthday because the people
they
that
had
they
had the same birthday.
Yes, yes.
So when you're reincarnated, you don't have to be reincarnated on the day that the person you're reincarnated from died. It could be a year from
Jonas,
then.
Yeah, you could just
Jonas is the pawn.
Yeah. I'm
right?
Sorry, Paul?
Like, Jonas is the pawn, because the story is about the star-crossed lovers, and that's what's important. And Jonas, like, if she was dating another artist or somebody else at the gallery or anybody else, that person would have been brought into this scheme. That's what I think.
Wait, what?
Well, I don't know about that.
Wait, like, I think that you will always create the third person to murder.
Oh, so I'm sorry. I think I see what you're saying. You're saying these three people are locked in until they break the cycle of the star, until the star dies. They're locked in some sort of cycle that will continue to replay itself until such a time as they are able to overcome it before the star dies?
Kind
is that
of,
what's happening?
No, what I'm saying
I hate this movie. Here's what it is. You know, here's what it is. Because this has happened to us before. We can spend all night trying to figure out what's going on in this movie. They didn't answer it on purpose because it doesn't make sense. They're
right.
Counting on us to not care because the hunks and honeys are so hot that we're like, oh, they did it. But the math doesn't add up, I think.
I
don't think there is... I don't think there is a way that we're going to crack it. I think it's flawed.
I was going to just say, and this is not even really worth it because of exactly what you just said, but I believe the star-crossed lovers are always going to bring in this third that is not related to the cycle, right?
No, he is related to the cycle.
He is.
He's always inextricably related to the cycle.
Oh, you're right. I can't really defend my point of view.
You know
it's
what?
Not,
you're still too turned on from the aerialists.
It's not as cut and dry as the art installation sewer tunnel for me. All right, ma'am, your question.
Okay, the real question is, at the end, he gets shot and lives. How did he prevent the 222? Because we see all the things happen. What did he do to make it different this time?
He blocked the bullet.
He caused it, though.
He did. He caused it.
He ran into it. He created it.
Yes.
So this event would not have happened if he had stayed on, I don't know, 38th Street or wherever he was in that corporate building where he was jumping through the glass. He should have just stayed there. He should have gone to that precinct, gotten arrested. None of this would have happened.
Yes, agree. None of it would have happened. Jonas and Sarah would have gone upstate to Poughkeepsie, like gone antique shopping, eaten in some like nice, cute diners. Eventually, they would break up, but that's it. Like I think, Dario Naharis is acting as if at Grand Central at 222. He knows Jonas kills Sarah and that he needs to get there to intercede in that event. But in reality, if he doesn't get there, all that will happen is they will get on a train and they will go upstate to the Hudson Valley.
Nothing that a couple days in Poughkeepsie can't cure.
It's right. really weird. Like, that's what the movie misses. The movie has literally a ticking clock every day, and it gives you all these mile markers to keep track of, but the events, there are no events that he needs to stop, right?
Yeah, he just needs to not attend.
But then she would go away. But that brings me to my whole problem with the entire film.
So let her go to Poughkeepsie. He can deal with it when she comes back.
Call her in a week.
But why does Sarah immediately get back together with her old boyfriend?
That is a good point.
Also,
someone just said over here, that's what we do.
By the way, Portland, stop recycling. Only new business, Portland. Delete those numbers. Stop recycling these turds.
All right, I have a question over here. Your name, your question.
My name is Jenna. The question is, I don't know if you're going to mention this later, but Teresa Palmer, 10 years earlier, was in a film called, time-titled film, 237.
Whoa, no, was not going to mention that, did not know that.
Wait,
what is that about?
Did she think this was a prequel?
Wow.
That's wild.
Wow.
It's a whole series of different perspectives, all leading to a single moment in which someone dies.
Whoa, she's cornering this market. Wow.
That's
all right.
Interesting.
Hold on to that one because that will be a future episode.
Wow, that's really odd. This movie is also like so little is done between Teresa Palmer and Dario Naharis to tell you that they are falling in love. They do nothing. They just...
I mean, they had unprotected sex.
They
That's
just
clear.
Are... Yeah. They just are in love. They just... It's just on.
Well, their souls are in love.
Yes. But, like the movie want... The movie, in fact, needs you to believe that... To invest in the romance of it. The... Almost like the... Like the star-crossed lovers element of it needs to land, and it doesn't land at all because you're not watching them share anything except for like needle drop plaintive songs while they kind of like give each other looks.
Jason,
so much so that at the end of the movie,
when they danced in that park that was supposed to be Central Park, my heart swooned.
Your heart swooned?
Just like an aerial ballistist.
What?
I went up.
Aerial ballistis? That's the t-shirt.
I felt so worried about them. At the end of the movie, when he waves to her and she's up there with that child.
They're doomed.
That baby. All I could feel was dread and doom.
They're doomed.
Like, these two people who knew each other for 5 days have not had a conversation, have a child
Can
together?
You imagine?
This is a disaster.
Can you imagine if the first week of your life with someone involved supernatural occurrences that proved the connection of who you are to each other? The rest of your life would be boring.
But
you'll
now,
never catch up. Yeah, you're chasing.
They are never
you're always
make
chasing.
It, absolutely. Like, these two will not make it through like the
here,
domestic horror show
of
the first year of a child.
But
like,
wait,
it's
here,
just not.
Where he's like, I'm so.
Happen.
Babe, I gotta go to Phoenix. I'm sorry, babe, I gotta
and
fly to Phoenix.
She's like,
tonight.
I used to have a job at a gallery.
Which brings me to my point. He becomes a pilot, she becomes a mom? Like. Didn't she have a dream that she wanted to achieve? No. She
well,
did,
she's got maybe that her busted dream. Up knee, so her... there's nothing we can do there, Paul.
All right. I did the I wanted the
It's
end
a pretty to... it's a baby. Maybe she's just on maternity leave and is going to go back to the gallery in a little while.
But just put a poster behind her that says Teresa Palmer in the dance.
And it would have been helpful for him to
you
stick
think
around.
You think she's
going to
become a dancer?
Bit.
Yes.
Wait, she could have been a choreographer.
Paul, you think she's going to become a dancer now?
Don't
At
be
this
a-
stage in life?
Well, listen, maybe she wouldn't be a professional dancer, but I'm sure there's something she could do in the world of dance.
Wait, why couldn't she have happiness, continued success and happiness in the gallery world?
Because she wasn't happy.
I don't think she was happy there.
She was crying. She was going to show crying.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't think that means that our dreams that didn't come true are the only things that are available to make us happy in life. The dreams of childhood, you are not owed your childhood dreams, period. Those don't have to come true. And you can build a happy, fulfilling, successful life, even if it means you never got to do the thing you decided you wanted to do as a kid. I think that's okay.
But I don't think she had resolved that. I think that's true, but so, I don't think that was.
At the end of the movie, show her in therapy.
Now, who's on
my... listen, first of all, the professional life of a dancer, we've gone over this on the podcast before. The shelf life is very short.
So unless you're J-Lo.
That's true. I mean, J-Lo's in her own category. But she was only going to have maybe 10 good years anyway. She was always going to have to find something else to do.
It doesn't matter. She didn't do it, though. Like, she didn't do it. It wasn't available to her. Right? Like,
this is getting dark.
No! I mean, I guess I just...
Why are we putting Teresa in the corner?
Nobody puts Teresa in the corner.
Was the baby 222 days old? That's my question. And then does the baby go boom on 222?
Oh, boy. That would be amazing.
All right, ma'am, your name, your question. What do you got?
My name's Jason.
That's not true.
Well, I just wanted you to say this girl gets it. My name is Sadie.
Nope. I don't fall for lies.
God damn it, Jason. Okay, so my first thing is the sister who her sister was killed 30 years ago is about 40.
Sure.
Yeah.
But she
careful.
She knows her sister
careful,
as
counselor.
A really talented singer as at like 30.
Well, she could like it's 1987. There's VHS tapes. There's stories.
Her sister was a singer in her, like...
I do think you're right, though. The math did bug me there, because I was like, she's not old
Thank
enough
you,
so that so, it made sense that she would know her sister's, like, emotional life so well.
She has all these, like,
so
pictures
well.
Of her as, like, a singer, and, like, she was, like, falling around. Anyway, main thing, though, you guys, all of you, 222. Episode 222 of How Did This Get Made came out yesterday. We just watched 222, and the address of this place is 222 Southwest Clay.
What? What?
What? What? Holy shit. This is sacred geometry.
What is happening?
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like knowing that.
I really am very unsettled.
Do you know
I don't
why?
Like this one
And
bit.
Out of everyone
because
in this audience, I found her. I could have picked anyone.
Guys, if you add those up, isn't it 666? The number of the beast.
I don't go for this stuff. I don't like this stuff.
Ooh, I don't like it.
I would normally
That baby's
end...
here, though. I hope that baby's not the Antichrist.
How old is that baby? 2222?
Check that baby's scalp for the mark of the beast.
All right, ma'am, your name and your question.
My name is Marina. And my question is, if he wasn't such a horrible bike owner, could he have gotten to the central station without being arrested? Because his bike must have been stolen. He kept on parking it everywhere and then just like commuting and just leaving that nice ass bicycle. And he was biking
this is
the
a Portland
whole first
question.
Part of the movie.
Very true, June.
It really true. Is.
Because I barely noticed it, but Portland, who noticed the bikes in this movie? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right, you can put your hands down. We're out of the audience now. Oh, boy. Okay, so.
Tough stuff, Portland.
Would it surprise you that when this movie was first announced, the star was Armie Hammer?
I would believe that.
He dropped out probably after reading the script. He probably heard a great pitch. It's like Groundhog Day, but romantic and thrilling, and there's sexy aerial ballet. And then he read it, and I was like, wait a second, this aerial ballet isn't that great. And he goes, and this whole gallery owner...
What are you talking about? You earlier were talking about how great the aerial ballet was.
Well, his standards for it are much higher than mine. just like Armie Hammer, we also have to make room for a different opinion here on this film. It is now time for Second Opinions.
The patterns speak. The stars will show the way. Reincarnation. It's time loose every day. It's up to me to keep 222 at bay. With this movie on Amazon, I'll say, direct our traffic on my metal bird, you'll ride. Second opinions, my stars are five. My stars are five. My stars are five.
Amazing. Give it up for Amanda. .222, Second Opinions. Okay, there's 127 reviews for this film. 46% are 5 stars. They start out very innocent, and then they get a little bit wild. Might be a little bit longer segment than normal because buckle up. This one's written by JC. JC writes, good plot with an interesting story that doesn't beg for an inane, realistic validation or have some ridiculous hidden meaning / agenda. It just lets you enjoy the story and the characters. 5 stars, and the title is rated highly because it's just a joy to find a decent film to watch.
So... he's happy there's... the plot is that there's no plot.
Yeah. Happy that there's not any of that stuff that bogs it down, like meaning or anything like that. People, they did stuff, and it ended, and I liked it. Dory S. Arivas writes, Michael Huseman is so wonderful to look at. One of the most beautiful and sexy exclamation point men alive. People Magazine, are you listening? I have enjoyed all of his work, and this film shows him off to the max. In other words, I really love this film. 5 stars.
I will say, if anyone has some free time, pick up a People Magazine and just read. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just read what the letters that are in the mailbag. Because they are the People Magazine subscribers who follow it religiously are insane. Like, they're all...
Yeah, to write a letter to People Magazine, you have to have a large amount of free time.
One of the craziest things I've ever seen is after September 11th, People Magazine, I think for the next 2 weeks, just devoted those issues to September 11th. And the people who were lost and the first responders and did some appropriate and responsible coverage. During those 2 weeks, they took out some of the staples of People Magazine, and specifically the People Puzzler. And I'll never forget seeing in the mailbag... Never forget. Seeing in the mailbag... a woman had written a letter to People Magazine saying, essentially, like, thank you for the coverage on 9/11, but when are we getting back the People Puzzle? Like, it's been enough, and I'm ready to see the People Puzzler again.
The 7 stages of grief, stage 6, the People Puzzler.
People Puzzler. Like, you have, we have to move on.
.org.
This is written by Pete Vio. Pete writes, I always like temporal displacement stories. And I was intrigued by the premise of this. 5 stars. Title?
Oh, come on.
Nice present. Title? Nice premise.
How many temporal displacement movies is that guy enjoying?
I mean, maybe a couple episodes of Star Trek. Okay, now we're starting to get... That was the beginning of the... We're diving off the cliff. And here we go. Rebecca Zantana continues and goes... Ultimately only understood by people who can grasp synchronicity and sacred geometry. I love this movie. Spooky parallels to my life.
What?
5 stars. Title, keeps you hooked, went by too fast.
What?
Spooky parallels to Rebecca Zantana's life.
What is going on?
Buckle
with
up,
her?
Just wait for it, because then Mark Crandall chimes in. I obsess in my own life on 222, so I had to watch this movie. 5 stars.
What?
Then it goes to Pretty Kitty, who writes, if you've ever experienced this phenomenon, you'll love this movie. 5 stars.
What phenomenon? What phenomenon,
the
Pretty Kitty?
222 phenomenon.
If you are also locked into some 30-year-old reincarnation love-murder affair, you will like this movie like I did, as this is the story of my life. What?
And then this one, I mean, they go on and on. Victoria Celine Sky Demi writes, perfectly balanced story, blending the timeless capacity for human love, theoretical physics, and... synesthesia into a provocative little gem of a tale with gorgeous characters inside and out. There are no thosioscope hiccups here, no sappy injections to spin the tale from its beautiful purity. Captivating celestial theory, the nuance of almost unintentional interjection of the main character's brainwiring, a synthiat parameters are exquisite. 5 stars.
Wow. Jeez.
And then, I mean, again, there's many more like that, but I'll end it up on Melissa R. Mendelson.
What's interesting is that this movie that appears to feel as though there are people who believe that they are so important and involved in some centuries or decades repeating cycle. Like, again, it seems like mental illness is triggering people to review it because me too. This, what's happening in this movie is happening to me.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I believe I was reincarnated. So just put that over there for a second. But I don't watch this movie and think like, oh, this is my story.
But
you know, it's just one of the things that happens.
Huge reveal, June. We'll just put that over there.
Put that over there. Just don't worry about
where?
It.
Where?
But
where are we putting
there.
It?
Put
wow.
it over there.
Okay, yeah, I guess I did know that about you.
You did know that, Paul.
I did know that, I did.
But
I will
this
say though,
story is not just about that. It's like you have to go on such a journey. These are three people who've been reincarnated, and there's a murder mystery involved.
They appear to be playing out the same events, you know, romantically at least, again.
Yes.
And the movie wants us to believe that that's important somehow.
I mean,
you
it's
know?
Very difficult to unravel. I will say, though, I thought this movie was bullshit until Sadie said that this is coming out the day after the 222nd episode.
I don't know if I entirely trust Sadie. And
you think Sadie's a liar? Are you calling Sadie a liar just because she was in the balcony? The balcony of our shows is like Australia. It's all criminals. It is proven that after we leave a city, 9 months later, balcony babies. These people are fucking up there.
That is a forerunner for our t-shirts. Well, let me read you this one thing that may put us at ease. It may unite us all in one theory. This is from Melissa R. Mendelson. It's a 6-paragraph review. I'm going to read one of them. If time could speak, it would say, there are no coincidences. A chance meeting is a twist of fate. A connection of love is a deeper symphony. Notes of the past that float upon the sea toward the future. But is the music truly sweet? Or are the chords repetitive? Singing of love and loss, hope and fear, falling tears and tragic endings. Play it again, Sam, for we have heard this tune before, and we are spinning against time's web, struggling not to fall as its lines converge onto a singular moment while time's hands pause at 2:22. The world goes silent. 5 stars.
Wow. Paul, do you think you could read that again, but in a more declarative, performative way? Like it was a poem? Oh. Wow, this is interesting because people have connected to this movie in a way that they seem to think that it is representing for them something that they either are themselves experiencing or that they believe in vehemently.
You've already labeled it insane people.
Yes. And that's pretty interesting, though, that like they are not only drawn to it, but drawn to then write in and participate in finally, a movie about me.
Anything else we want to talk about?
Yes, so much.
Arms out and grow your heart out. Best lyrics I've ever heard. Throw your arms out, grow your heart out.
This movie, I think what we haven't really touched on is how stressful this movie was to watch. It was just sort of like an anxiety spiral for me.
And it gave you nothing to grab onto.
No, I mean, these are two very attractive people, and I did appreciate that, but they're two attractive people who are stressed.
Yeah.
And are counting, and he's a beautiful man, but he's...
What connects them?
No
idea. Other than history.
Well,
what is romantic about them? Nothing. Are they in love? I guess
I
so, because the movie tells me. But it's mostly because the people in the past fell in love, not because these two people have fallen in love.
So are they just vessels for these other people?
I guess.
That's sad, too.
Something. By the way, what's up with the necklaces?
Oh,
I don't know.
Like, does Jonas have access to the old necklace that he's being able to manufacture new necklaces?
I don't know.
Because the sister of the dead singer's got the necklace, but then so does Teresa Palmer. And then when Jonas inexplicably follows the bell of the cyclist to a building, goes in, finds a door, smashes the door, and walks in, it's Jonas's apartment. What the fuck? And right there, guess what? Hanging the necklace. He's making the necklaces.
Which I did resent. It seemed like that's not his medium.
Who's he making the new necklace?
Don't put Jonas in the corner.
Did you just watch Dirty Dancing for the first time?
Yeah, you've said that a number of times tonight, Paul.
Is this a new catchphrase for you?
I'm trying to bring it back.
Are you trying to...
We were on a break. I'm working on all my classic old 90s...
He's her lobster. These are all friends.
I was going to say, what I didn't like about the $20,000 apartment for the air traffic controller is that the dividing walls were glass, and that gives you no privacy.
He lives alone.
Well, but if you wanted to maybe have a guest over, you wouldn't close a glass panel and be like, see on the other side? Here I am. I'm closing a glass. I'm here. Just keep it open. You don't need it. If you're going to have glass doors, just have no doors, because there's no difference.
I thought they were cool.
Who took all the pictures he's finding online? Everyone has a meaningful necklace. Now he's laid over the chart. I was obsessed with the star chart he was given from work. Why? Why was he given, he's given a month suspension, and part of his suspension is, here's a flight chart, a star chart that is itself a map, a key, if you will, the Rosetta Stone to understanding everything. Just put it up in front of everything and it tells a story.
But why was it on X-ray film? Why was
it on It felt like he was given it to just sort of reflect on.
Like,
look at what you almost did.
It's not part of it. You know what they should have given him? The little tile of the two planes he almost crashed.
They actually should have just given him.
We've never seen that chart in use.
Yeah. I mean, they really should have given him pictures of every single person who was on that plane.
How did he balance? My issue was, how did he balance it without bending it when he was riding his bike back from JFK?
I don't know, because it's that kind of material that really doesn't give.
Yeah, especially when you're running fast on the street.
When Jonas is working on his art in his insane studio, and he zooms in on the pregnant woman, zooms in, enhance. It becomes Teresa Palmer? Why? Did he program it like that,
yeah,
or is he just discovering it?
No, he...
Okay, that's fine.
Or did he do it unintentionally? I couldn't tell
if
Jonas...
He did it on purpose, because when she walks in, he...
Hides it.
He hides it.
Yeah. Why is Dario Naharis standing on the edge of the building?
He's killing himself.
Why?
Because he's like, I gotta stop this.
And great, do it.
Or even better, just don't attend. Attend that event.
Yes. Or, you know, like take a road trip, bro. Yeah. Get out of town.
He couldn't avoid it.
You don't need
it.
To fly.
June.
You could just...
Can I tell
rent
you though,
a car.
But can I tell you guys something? You're not remembering one of the best scenes in the film, the cab scene. No matter what he does, he will be brought there like a fucking magnet.
Oh, I see.
You see, like, he can't avoid it.
He could have tried on foot. Someone would kidnap him
and bring him back.
Honestly, Paul, he should have just started walking.
And someone would have popped him in a trunk.
Then I think he should have jumped off the building. He should have jumped off the building to see what would happen.
Well, dead.
He goes from, because the movie takes place over, what, 5 days? He goes from
king of
the world. He's killing it. He's doing the rings. He's a hotshot air traffic controller. Within 4 days, he is atop a building, ready to end it all, because he realizes he is the reincarnated spirit of a dead gangster who's fallen... Four days.
The cops framed
that guy. The movie takes place
guy.
In 4 days.
He's just the reincarnated spirit of a normal dude that didn't do much. I would say this. I felt like the whole reason why there was an air traffic controller incident in the top is because they just needed to justify why he had so much free time. Like, they needed to give him a job.
But it's 30
to give him a
minutes.
Break from a...
It's 30 minutes of that shit.
And that's when I wrote down, I go, it's 30 minutes.
When Jonas and Sarah are going away for the weekend, they're going upstate and they're going to fly? They're going to JFK to fly to Poughkeepsie? No!
I don't think you can fly to Poughkeepsie from JFK.
I doubt it.
It's just a guy who has a... he paints his car to look like a plane. All right, this movie, I told you, made $422.
Sorry. I also didn't like that Jonas wore a thumb ring.
I didn't notice that.
Here's an update. I don't like thumb rings, period, on anyone.
I don't think you're going to get too much of a fight on that.
Portland.
The tagline for this movie, to save their future, he must fight his...
Past.
Future.
Fate.
Nope.
I already told you the movie made $422.
Is that like a Sadie fact?
No, that's a real fact.
Okay.
The top three films of 2017 are The Last Jedi, Beauty and the Beast, and Wonder Woman. It was beaten by, these are the shows that we've done on this podcast, The Fate and the Furious, The Great Wall, XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, Geostorm! Underworld, Blood Wars, and The Snowman. So
it was beaten by the snowman?
It made $500. The Snowman at least was a movie that we can all acknowledge we saw a poster for.
Wow, that's true. Yes, you're
this
right.
This movie, I don't think they made a poster for it. Okay, so Jason, June, would you recommend this film?
Oh, I mean, if it's on, like if you're tooling around the TV and you see it, something we've described as this, like watch it for a little bit. Just to understand the insanity of what we've been talking about. But I would not seek it out.
Here's what I'll say. Like, I don't think you need to watch all of it. Because it's not a successful film. It's not, it doesn't pay off well. It's not, it doesn't feel like, I didn't feel rewarded for getting through till the end.
No.
But if you wanted to watch part of it, in order, yes, exactly, to understand what we fucking had to deal with.
Yeah, it's like, I had to watch it, so.
And this audience had to deal with, because they all came prepared.
It's certainly, Portland. Yeah. It's certainly, it's benign enough, but it is confounding.
As someone tweeted at me today, when this movie finished, I said, fuck you, Paul Scheer. And
I think
honestly,
it's that person right there.
That is that person, and I want you to, you don't have to say it to me. Just say, fuck you, Avril Haley, who picked this movie. No, Avril is amazing. And the fact that she found this movie, she's one of our producers and she finds all these movies. I'm so happy to have found a movie that came out 2 years ago with stars that I have no idea existed. Like, that to me is the takeaway from this movie. Like, wow, we live in a world where this can still happen. This is awesome. Yeah. And I don't think that you would understand it from sitting and watching 15 minutes. It is the sum of its, like, at the, you need to be so frustrated by the end for it to pay off in that way that's so angry.
I get what you mean. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Because if you watch it in a moment, you're like, oh, I don't get why it's so bad. You have to start at the top and then walk it
end. You're right in the sense that you need to get to the end to realize how much they fucked you.
Right. If you just watch 15 minutes, or you just watch
because
the ending, I must have missed
like
something.
Two beautiful people.
And you're like, maybe they're going to land this plane.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, plane crash.
So now it comes time to say to you, Portland, thank you. Thank you for coming.
So
what a great audience.
The best.
You guys were the fucking best.
All right, everyone, that is it for How Did This Get Made this week. 222, one of the most confounding movies ever. A big thank you to Devin, our engineer. Also, our producer, Cody, for just pulling all this stuff together. Our producer, Avril, for picking out this great, great film. Also, July Diaz for listening through and making sure that the best stuff made the cut. And where would we be without the research from Mr. Nate Kiley, and the amazing help from Molly Reynolds. Nowhere, people, we'd be nowhere. Our art is designed by the incredibly talented The Ghost of Craig T. Nielsen, that is Zach McAleese, and also Kyle Waldron. People, if you want to continue the conversation about 222, you can on next week's mini episode. Just give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. We talk about the movie. We could talk about your life. Talk about anything and everything you want. A reminder to rate and review this podcast. It really helps. I'm told we need to say it more. So please rate and review this podcast. And we will see you next week for a How Did This Get Made mini episode. Bye for now. How did this get made?